Please turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13 and 14. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I understand, I am understanding. Power is mine. In some of our recent Sunday evening sermons, some time ago, we've been studying wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And in our last study, we considered counsel as it comes to us. And we found that all counsel comes to us from the Lord Jesus. And here we see in this passage that Jesus is personified as wisdom. It is really Jesus who speaks here to us. And we see in verse 14 that he declares, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. All true counsel, all true guidance that comes to us ultimately from our Lord Jesus Christ. All true, excellent, profitable counsel always finds its beginning and its source in the Lord Jesus. It belongs to him, and it comes from him to us through his word and by the Holy Spirit. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. And then we found in our last study that the prophet Isaiah speaks of the same thing. In Isaiah chapter 11, we read that the Messiah is to come, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, and the Spirit that rests upon him will be the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength. And then the same thing we found in Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 6, where a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the Messiah possesses glorious attributes, divine attributes, and he is called in that passage our wonderful counselor. And then the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 3, that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor. So all true counsel and wisdom comes to us from Jesus Christ. And we should always seek our counsel from the Lord Jesus. And we consider two occasions in our last study. One was found in Joshua chapter 9, when the Israelites, under the leadership of Joshua, were entering the land of Canaan. They had conquered Jericho and Ai, and then they came across the Gibeonites, and the Gibeonites told them that they had a long journey, and their clothes, their shoes, and their sacks, and their wineskins were old. And so Joshua made a covenant of peace with them, but their words were deception and a lie to them. They were living in the land. The Gibeonites were the people of the land. And so the Israelites made a covenant they should not have made. And we found that the reason why is that they were deceived because they did not ask the counsel of the Lord. And then we found in the life of David that David would seek God's counsel and ask the Lord, should I go up against the Philistines? And will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said, yes. And David sought the counsel of the Lord, and the Lord blessed him and gave him success. And so we see in these passages that when we do not seek counsel from the Lord, there is confusion and there is defeat and there is failure. But when we seek his counsel, there is wisdom, there is strength, and there is success. And so we spoke of counsel that comes from the Lord himself through his word and by the Holy Spirit. But tonight we focus our attention on counsel or advice that comes to us from other men. And while we recognize that all counsel comes ultimately from Jesus Christ, it has not been given to any one of us individually. And there is no man who has all wisdom residing in his own mind so that he needs no counsel or advice from his fellow man. There is no man on the face of the earth who has such an abundance of wisdom and understanding that he can safely guide himself through all the affairs of life without the counsel, the advice, the direction of others. Each one of us has our own blind spots. There are things that we cannot perceive and we do not understand as we should. We each have those places, those spheres in our lives where there is a lack of knowledge and we need the aid of others, and God has given to others the wisdom that we ourselves do not have. When we are faced with difficulties and trials in life and we need the aid of others, when we are faced with decisions, and especially crucial life-changing decisions that will alter our lives for years to come, we need the counsel, the advice, and the help of others. We are not independent. We are not self-sufficient beings who have no need of others. And when we are faced with perplexing situations, crucial decisions, we ought to seek the counsel of other men. One man writes, "We are designed by our Creator to give and to receive, and by a commerce of wisdom to enrich one another." It is a blessing in these things that there is this give and take. There is this flow that is to go back and forth. There is this two-way communication, and it is to be for the benefit, the blessing, the enrichment, and the guidance of one another. And I would add to this that this is one of the reasons why God has made the institution of the church, and he places his people into the church, because it is primarily in the church where this counsel and this advice is to be found. When we speak of crucial decisions, we are referring to those major life-changing decisions which one must make. The education that one is to pursue in his life, the particular career, the college that one may attend, one's employment, where one works, and marriage are crucial decisions, major financial decisions, a move, a major purchase of a home, great decisions that one must make in his life, all of them important life-changing decisions. And they are among the decisions where we should seek the counsel from other men. And when we pick who will be our counselors, and who we will go to have counsel with, we should pick our counselors who are wise men or women, and those who will be honest with us. We should never pick those who are fools, who have no knowledge or experience, and those who will only tell us what we want to hear. And whenever, and preferably always if possible, our counselors should be our fellow brethren who have the same perspectives on life and reality from the Word of God. We should go to those who are counselors and who have wisdom in the particular area of decision that we must make. We should go to those who have wisdom in the area of our need. If we are making a business or financial decision, we would take counsel with those who have knowledge and experience in business and in financial matters. If the decision involves college or employment, we should choose those counselors who are familiar with those needs. Each situation involves a different set of counselors depending on the particular decision that must be made. If I need financial advice, I would not go to my car mechanic to get financial advice. If I need something done in terms of the mechanics of my car, I would not speak with my financial advisor. And so we must choose those who have the wisdom that is needed in any particular situation. When we speak of counsel, we recognize there is a distinction between counsel and command. Another man's counsel is not a divine command, unless, of course, it comes to us directly from the Word of God. But we are speaking here tonight of counsel or advice that is not found directly from the Scriptures. Another man's counsel, another man's advice, his recommendation, it does not carry the authority of thus says the Lord. And so we may choose to follow another man's counsel, or we may choose not to follow that counsel. If we receive good counsel and we do not follow it, then we may suffer the consequences, and it may not be good. And if we have any right view of ourselves and our own sinfulness and our own blindness and ignorance, our own misunderstanding and wrong judgments, then we ought to have the humility that will move us to seek the ideas and the thoughts and the counsels of others in the difficulties and trials and decisions of life. The book of Proverbs has some things to say about seeking counsel from other men. And we'll turn first to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Now, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom for many situations in life. But it is a book of wisdom, especially to parents in the rearing and the training of their children. And that's what we have here. Solomon is speaking to his son. The father here speaks to his son. And there are two things which he tells his son in the very first half of the verse. First, he tells his son, listen to counsel. In other words, his son must be willing to hear the advice and the counsel that others will give to him. And Solomon really is speaking of himself as a father. He says, listen to my counsel, my son, as your father. And then he says, secondly, that his son must accept discipline. In other words, that he must accept the discipline that will come from this counsel. The counsel to which his son is to listen to, and the discipline which he is to accept, they are one and the same thing. Good counsel is often displeasing to our ease and our comforts. And good counsel often cuts across our pleasures and our own ideas. And at times we may not want to hear it, and it may be hard to bear. And it takes discipline to receive it. And it takes discipline to act according to it. There will be difficulty, perhaps hardship, and even pain in implementing the counsel. And that's what Solomon is exhorting his son to. Both of these. Listen to counsel and accept the discipline that is required to fulfill and follow this counsel. Wouldn't it be nice if the way of good counsel was always pleasant and easy for us to follow? But the way of good counsel is often hard, and it is the way of discipline. We live in a generation in which discipline is a bad word. Not even spoken of very much. Children grow up often with no discipline. Anything that is hard, anything painful, anything difficult is to be avoided. Fathers too often unwilling to discipline their sons, unwilling to cross their children, afraid to speak against their wills. But sons need the discipline of their fathers who love them. And the father who truly loves his son will counsel him and discipline him. And a father is the one who must primarily counsel and discipline his son when he is young. And then Solomon tells us the benefits that come from this counsel and discipline in the second half of the verse. He says that you may be wise the rest of your days. In other words, there is this lasting benefit that will come to his son. That his son will become wise, and that wisdom will last for the rest of his life. The wisdom that a young child learns early in life is most valuable because it will last for the rest of his days. It is wisdom that will follow him. It is wisdom that will guide him in the decisions that he must make for years to come. A father must do this good to his son and his daughter as well, and give them the counsel and the discipline they need when they are young. And a son and a daughter, they do themselves good, and they spare themselves much grief and pain if they are willing to receive this wisdom, this counsel, this discipline that will make them wise the rest of their days. One man writes, "A friend who would give us good counsel is a precious treasure, and nothing but folly and self-deceit can keep us from valuing his good advice as more than fine gold. Do you think that you have already gained enough wisdom? You are quite mistaken. You are yet a child and speak as a child if you think you are a scholar because you can repeat the letters of the alphabet. A Christian must live and die learning." We turn over to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And verse 18, Solomon says here, he says, "Prepare plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance." The King James translates this verse, "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war." The idea here is that a man has something that he wants to do, and something he wants to accomplish. It may be some difficult task. It is a good and noble purpose, and so he has a plan in his mind to bring it about. But the plan is just in his mind at this point. It is in its early beginning stages. It is a rudimentary plan, and as it stands in his own mind, at this point, the plan will never succeed and it will never come to its fruition. The plan needs to be developed. It needs to be sharpened and improved. And there are parts of the plan which have not been fully thought through. And so there are difficulties which he has not yet considered. There are contingencies and problems that he must think about. There are needs that he must be prepared for. And so if this man's plan is to be successful, he needs consultation, and so he needs the counsel and the advice of others. Prepare plans by consultation, by counsel with others. This man needs to go and lay his plans before other men and receive their input and their counsel before he takes action. It would not be wise It would invite failure for him simply to launch off his plans into action before taking this proper counsel. Prepare plans by counsel. Every purpose is established by counsel. And then he says, and make war by wise guidance. Solomon speaks here as a king. He applies the principle in the beginning of the verse to himself as a king in waging war. Make war by wise counsel. Before the king goes out to war, he should consult with his various advisors. He should receive their wise counsel before he makes any important decision and any momentous move. And this is what we should do as well in our life. Jesus tells us the same thing in the Gospel of Luke chapter 14 about the king. Before he goes out to battle, he considers whether he is able to engage in the conflict or whether he should send men first to seek terms of peace. A good commentator named George Lawson, he writes, however good our designs are, yet rashness and inconsideration will be sure to render them abortive. And besides our own wisdom, it is necessary for us in all matters of importance to take the advice of the wise and upright. If we have such a high opinion of our own wisdom that we think we have no counsel, no need of counsel from other men, we prove ourselves fools of the worst kind. For there is more hope for any other kind of fool than for those who are wise in their own conceit. We turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. He says, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. The first part of the verse speaks of a man who has a plan, and it may be a plan for something that is good in itself, but he never goes and asks counsel. And he never receives the advice of other men, and he never sharpens and develops his plan. He does not think he needs any. And he thinks he knows everything himself to carry out his own plan. And the end of his plans are disappointment and frustration, and they come to nothing. What without counsel, plans are frustrated. And then the second half of the verse, we have a man who takes his plans to many counselors, but with many counselors, they succeed. The King James says, in the multitude of counselors, purposes are established. We are not told how many counselors it speaks of, certainly more than two. And the reason is because even our counselors may not have all wisdom in themselves. And we need a variety of counselors, because among those variety of counselors, ultimately wisdom will be found and the path forward will be determined. And there should be a sufficient number of counselors so that we have covered as many possible difficulties and unforeseen situations that could arise before we act. We ask for the counsel and the input and the advice of others, and we adjust and we alter our plan accordingly so that we are prepared for whatever may come and whatever difficulty may arise. On some occasions, perhaps the unreasonableness of our plan is discovered, and we see it for ourselves, and the plan must come to an end. But Solomon tells us here that the man who has many counselors, he puts his plan into action after receiving their counsel. He will generally succeed. And he will prosper, and his plan will go forward, and the wisdom of it will be apparent to all. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Matthew Henry writes, "If men will not take time and plans to deliberate and pains to deliberate with themselves, or are so confident of their own judgment that they scorn to consult with others, they are not likely to bring anything considerable to pass. Circumstances will defeat them, which, with a little consultation, might have been foreseen and removed. It is a good rule, both in public and domestic affairs, to do nothing rashly or out of one's own head." And this principle is so important that Solomon repeats it numerous times. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 11 and verse 14, he says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." There are generally two sins in our hearts which keep us from seeking counsel from other men. And the first is our pride. That we are too proud and we think we are self-sufficient and we have too much regard for our own thoughts and we think we can handle all of our affairs by ourselves and we do not need the advice of others. Pride is a great sin that keeps us from seeking the advice of others. I am speaking of seeking the advice of others, not just receiving their advice. I am not speaking here just of others coming to us with advice, but I am speaking of actively pursuing and desiring and seeking the advice of others. The second sin that keeps us from seeking advice is selfishness. We do not get counsel from others because we want our own way. And we are determined to get our own way. And so we do not want anyone else interfering with our own way. We know that if we seek counsel, that good counsel will tell us something that we do not want to hear. And so we do not seek it. Selfishness, pride and selfishness, two sins which often keep us from seeking the wise counsel from other men. And if we would avoid the grief that this verse speaks of, the frustrations, the disappointments, then these sins of pride and foolishness and selfishness must be overcome in our hearts. We turn to Proverbs chapter 12. For Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." We have a contrast in this verse between two men, a fool and a wise man. The fool in the beginning of the verse, he is a man who has too much pride and self-conceit so that he does not ask the counsel of others because he thinks he does not need it. He is hasty and he is rash and he does not ask for advice and so that keeps him a fool and he always thinks that he is right in his own mind. He may be completely on the wrong path in life, but he still believes he is right in his own eyes. He is governed by his own lusts and pleasures and not by a conscience based on the word of God. But then we come to the second man in the second half of the verse, and here we have the wise man. And he is a man who has humility. He is sensible of his need for the advice of others. He is cautious because he does not trust himself. He knows how prone he is to mistakes and foolishness, and he feels he cannot proceed in his plans without the counsel of others. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Now here we have in this verse a fool and a wise man. And there is a world of difference between them. In fact, there could not be two people more different from one another than a fool and a wise man. They are on two entirely different paths in life, with two entirely different destinies. And yet, the difference between them can be boiled down to this one thing in the book of Proverbs, that the wise man seeks counsel and the fool doesn't. This is what makes him wise, and this is what keeps him wise, and this is what makes the fool a fool and keeps him a fool. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He always thinks he is right. But a wise man does not trust his own heart, and he listens to counsel. We close our time tonight. Two examples, one of them good and one of them not good, in terms of seeking counsel from other men. The first is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 18. Back in the book of Exodus, chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18, and I'll read verses 17, or verse 13 rather, down through verse 27. Verse 13, and it came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from morning until evening. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this thing you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, and all the people stand about you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor, and make known the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I shall give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk, and the work they are to do. Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times, and let it be that every major dispute that they bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and you will bear the burden, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people also will go to their place in peace." So Moses listened to his father-in-law. That was Moses' response. He listened to his father-in-law and did all that he said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times, the difficult dispute they would bring to Moses, but every minor dispute they themselves would judge. Then Moses bade his father-in-law farewell, and he went his way to his own land. And so here we have Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. He sees the excessive burden that is upon Moses in judging all the cases of the people of Israel. And he says to Moses that it is not good what you are doing. And it will bring too much fatigue upon you, harm to your health, and he gives Moses this counsel to divide the load and to appoint wise judges under him for his help. And so we read in verse 24 that Moses was wise in his response. He listened to his father-in-law and did all that he said. And the outcome was the great benefit and the blessing of Moses and the people of God. Moses, the great leader, the divinely inspired prophet of God over the entire nation, yet he demonstrates this humility and this willingness to listen to the advice and the counsel of others. A good example for us to follow. A second example is found in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 12. 1 Kings, chapter 12. And here we have the case of Solomon's son, Rehoboam. Solomon has died, and Rehoboam is made king. We read in the first 6 verses. Then Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. Now it came about when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, that he was living in Egypt, for he was yet in Egypt, where he had fled from the presence of King Solomon. Then they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke hard. Now therefore listen, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you." Then he said to them, "Depart for 3 days, then return to me." So the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, "How do you counsel me to answer this people?" Now let me pause here for just a moment, because what happens here in verse 6, Rehoboam, he goes to the elders who had served Solomon and counseled Solomon as king when he was alive. Solomon, the king of Israel, who wrote the book of Proverbs, the wisest man in all the earth, when he became king, he asked God for one thing, for wisdom, and God gave him the wisdom. And yet we see here that Solomon, he surrounded himself with elders who counseled him. Even Solomon, the wisest man in all the earth, needed the counsel of other wise men around him. So when we read the book of Proverbs, and he says, prepare plans by consultation, and make war by wise guidance. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. When we read the words of Solomon in the book of Proverbs, he's just not writing advice to other people. He is telling us of his own practice, his own experience in his own life. And then Rehoboam, we see, after he counsels with the elders of his father, then we read in verses 7 and following. Then they spoke to him, saying, they came back with their counsel, "If you will be a servant to this people today, will serve them, grant them their petition, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he forsook the counsel of the elders, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. A crucial mistake of Rehoboam that was to have the most devastating effects upon the entire nation of Israel. He forsook the counsel, the wise counsel of the experienced elders from his father. And he went to the young men who he grew up with and were his friends in his youth. He did not want to hear the counsel of the elders. He went to those who would give him the counsel that he desired. Then we read in verse 9. So he said to them, What counsel do you give that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father has put on us? And the young men who grew up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you shall say to this people who spoke to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy. Now you make it lighter for us. But you shall speak to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. Then Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king had directed them, saying, return to me on the third day. And the king answered the people harshly, for he forsook the advice of the elders which they had given him, and he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men. So Rehoboam here is a bad example to us, acting foolishly, despising the counsel of wise and experienced men, and taking the foolish counsel of younger men. And the end of it all was the tribes of Israel were separated, the northern and the southern kingdoms, and great harm and sin came into the nation of Israel. So may God help us that we, in all of life, in our trials, in our difficulties, in our perplexing situations, we have everything we need for good counsel. Counsel from the Lord Jesus himself. Ultimately, all counsel comes from him, and his word and his spirit are able to give us wisdom. But then, in other circumstances, we need the counsel of others, and we should seek them. Prepare our plans by consultation, and in many counselors, there is success. Let's pray together. Father and God in heaven, we thank you for all that you have given to us, and thank you for the great provisions that you have given to us to guide us, to counsel us, that we may walk in all the ways that are pleasing to you. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And thank you for all that he has taught us, the counsel that has come to us from his word and by the Holy Spirit. But Lord, at the same time, make us those who seek and receive and listen to the counsel of others who are wise and good for us, and bless all of these things, that we may do your will, that we may walk in the ways that are upright and in the ways that are blessings for us, and that we may turn away from every foolish way. Hear us now and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.